Welcome to the Fire You Carry podcast. On today's episode, Kevin and I are talking about what to do if you feel like you're in a position with your job that is untenable. You feel like you can't stay there. You're being asked to do something immoral. There's something tyrannical going on, whatever that is. We talk about that, how to think about it, how to look at it, how to make those decisions. And we also offer you guys some encouragement, some different ways to look at that, some ways to process it, and some ways to get help from your friends and family as you walk through those decision points, wherever you're at in that spectrum in life right now. Enjoy.
I go back to one of my life mentors, this Big Joe Flavin up in San Francisco. And every time I've gone to him over my life with major decisions, whether I should get married or should I quit a job or what I should do, he says the same thing to me every single time. And it's maddening. But he says, you need to make the wisest decision, knowing that the moment of clarity will not come. Welcome to the Fire You Carry podcast. Today, it's just Noel and I.
It's just us.
We're solving the world's problems today. There is so much uncertainty in this world. In our world, at least. Maybe not in yours. But in our world, there's a lot of uncertainty. And it's kind of the elephant in the room, in any room that we've been going into. And it's one of those things that we just wanted to touch base with on a lot of our people, I'm sure, are feeling the same thing. If you turn on your phone, if you turn on the radio, if you turn on the news, is what we hear. And that's my perception, maybe. But there's just a lot of things are changing rapidly. And so what we wanted just to address is to get out there and just say that we're all going through this. And Noel had some ideas that are better than what I'm leading out with here.
Oh, you can't say that.
Oh, here we go.
No, we just wanted to come here today and encourage you guys. Everybody that we're talking to, like Kevin said, is thinking about in our world. So police, military, fire, we're all dealing with this right now. And we are not going to go into it too much as far as the politics of it, because we don't do that here on this podcast. But obviously what we're talking about is there are guys who are either currently having to decide between losing their job and getting a shot, or, well, I guess that's it, right? That's the choice. And we're not going to go there on what we think about that, because we don't think that's important. That's a personal choice. That's for you. What we do want to encourage you with today is however you choose to process that and how to look at it. So I've been having a lot of conversations with friends and family who are in the military, who are in the fire department. And let me just first approach it from the perspective of you're somebody that doesn't have it and is going to get it in order to continue your career, which you're passionate about, that you feel is your calling. And so you're going to do that in order to keep doing that job. If that's the decision that you've made, then go for it, go with it, and know that people like Kevin and I, and hopefully your friends and family as well, are not going to judge you for that. That's a choice just for you to make. And if you've looked at it and decided that to support your family and to do this thing that you've clearly been called to do, that's a decision that you have to make.
And you shouldn't be thinking about us or anybody else's opinion on whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, great point. You shouldn't be. So if that's where you're at, be at peace about that and just move forward and live the rest of your life. That's where we're at right now. We didn't choose the circumstances. We didn't choose the choice, but a lot of us are in that place. And if you're prepared to do that, then go for it. If you're on the other side of that coin and you're looking at it and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And if it comes down to it, I will be terminated. And I do know people that are in that place as well. That's kind of where I have a little bit more to say. So I've talked to a lot of guys that have been in the military or the fire service or even law enforcement, and they're at 12, 15, 20 years even. They always say, well, I don't know what else I would do, right? This has been my calling. This has been what I've done forever. I don't know where I would go after this. And where I want to encourage you guys is the same place that I've encouraged those individuals is if you make that choice, it's going to be hard, right? You are going to lose a lot. You're going to walk away from a lot financially. You're going to not have your brothers around you anymore. Like, it's not going to be easy. I'm not going to say that it is, but look at yourself, know yourself. You're a hard worker. You're probably a man of morals and character. If you're in those lines of work, and listening to this podcast, I'll throw that out there.
Boom.
You can go find something else to do that can fulfill you, that can provide for your family. And if that's a decision that you've made and you're going to walk that road, you have to be prepared for the fact that it's going to be difficult. You may have to sell a car. You might have to move into a smaller house. You might have to rent for a while. You literally might have to eat top ramen with your family for a time while you try to figure that out. Like, it's not going to be easy for most guys. But if that's a decision that you've made, you can absolutely walk away from this, whatever that is, and start over. Now, obviously, that's the more extreme of the two decisions, right? Because this is what we've all done. This is what we've all chosen to do. Both Kevin and I feel like we have a calling and a purpose here as firemen, and this is what we do. So if you choose to walk away from that, it's a big deal. But if you've made that decision, I do want to encourage you that you have the ability to go find something else. You can start over. And while it isn't going to be easy, I know I keep saying that, but I want to reiterate it. It is possible. And there are other paths out there. There are other things. And you're not alone. There's a lot of guys that are looking at both these decisions and they're making them right now. So just be encouraged in that. You're not alone. I don't have any advice for you. I'm not going to give you advice on which one I think is right or what to do, because I don't feel like I know enough about you. And really, honestly, even if I did, like, I know Kevin really well. I'm not going to tell him what I think he should do if he's in that position to make that decision, because that's his decision. That's his family's choice. And I don't have a place in that.
Yeah. And the reality is, I've worked since I was 15 years old, and I've had three different careers. I would call them careers, that somebody would make a career out of, three different jobs that I had before this one. And all of them, I got to a point where in that career, it was just like, you know what? It was a point of frustration enough where I don't want to do this anymore. Right. And so the reality is that we do have a high job satisfaction rate in this career, right? And there's a reason why. There's a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of fun. You do have a lot of respect. But I do know that every time I've made that quantum leap into another career, there was exactly what you said. There was some pain. There was some struggle. And then I started doing that, and I enjoyed that for a period of time until I found something else. And I just realized that, hey, as you just can't wait for somebody else to do something for you. You're going to have to suit up, show up, do whatever it needs to be done. And like Noel said, work hard. And I'm sure you'll figure it out. I'm sure I would figure it out. If something, and we should be more prepared, like even our job. If I broke my back today, what is my backup plan? Do you know what I mean? Do I have a backup plan?
That's in my notes to talk about. So I love it. Before I go there, though, let me say this. If you guys want to talk about this and ask where I'm at or just run some stuff by us, I will talk to you about it one-on-one. I don't want to put a lot of that out here on the podcast because I don't want to sway anybody.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's appropriate. But if you want to reach out and you just want to talk about where you're at, I will totally listen. I'd be happy to talk to you about it, and I will share with you where I'm at with all this stuff. The best place to do that is to join our Discord group. We'll put a link for that in the show notes if you're not already in there, but you can reach out to me on there and we'll talk about it. If you just want somebody to just vent on, you know, I'm willing to do that. And I'm doing it with a lot of other guys right now too. And I'm doing it in turn to other people as well. So,
and you should seek advice. You should seek counsel. You should see people of multiple different perspectives and different thoughts, you know, and then make your own decision. And I go back to one of my life mentors, is Big Joe Flavin up in San Francisco. And every time I've gone to him over my life with major decisions, whether I should get married or should I quit a job or what I should do, he says the same thing to me every single time. And it's maddening. But he says, you need to make the wisest decision knowing that the moment of clarity will not come.
Hmm.
And it drives me nuts. And he always said, did you pray about it? Did you? And I'm looking for, tell me yes or no.
Tell me what to do. Yeah.
And he's a wise man in his 80s. And he says, the moment of clarity will not come. You just need to make the wisest decision.
I like that a lot. He's totally right. The moment of clarity won't come. I've been in those moments too. So back to Kevin's point about being prepared. Let's transition a little bit into a slightly different topic, but it's adjacent. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how to know if it's time for you to quit your job, move on to a different career, do something else with your life, that type of idea. Before we get into that, the number one thing that I think is important is what Kevin just brought up. As a man, as a provider, you need to be in a position where you are prepared if the worst happens. So in Kevin's example of breaking your back, for those of us in law enforcement, military, fire, well, and even in your civilian jobs, if you have a catastrophic anything that means you can't do whatever you're doing now, you should have some form of a backup plan. Now, that doesn't mean as in-depth as like, okay, if this happens, then I'll go work at UPS and I'll move here. Like, it doesn't have to be that. But being prepared means, do you have a ton of debt? Are you in a place where financially you cannot afford to go get a different job because you're stuck where you're at? And so then if that job comes to you, like a good friend of mine just recently had, and says, hey, I want you to do this thing that's immoral in order to forward the company's, we'll call it, mission of making money. If you're in a place where you can't say no to that because you have to have that job, you have to have that income, otherwise you can't pay your car payments, you can't pay your mortgage, then you have no room to negotiate. And now you're being tyrannized and there's nothing you can do. So keep yourself in a position where, I mean, if you can be debt-free, that's awesome. I know we've talked about Dave Ramsey and his program before, and both Kevin and I have gone down that road. And at various stages of my life, I've been at different places with that. And we don't agree with everything Dave says. I'll throw that out there too. But we do believe that the less debt you can carry, the better. Now,
common sense approach. He says to carry 3 to 6 months in a cash reserve of all your bills. That means that if anything happened and that cash is not making money in any market or anything, it's just there, that if anything happens, you can rely on that. He also talks about having, like Noel said, with no debt and cash in the bank for that, you're self-insured, that if something happens, you're not relying on some other thing to, you know that, hey, for at least a few months, we're going to be okay.
Yeah. And full disclosure, most of my life, I have not been in that position. And in fact, we have a new car right now, so I have a payment on that. And I've chosen to make that decision because I want my family to have a very reliable vehicle, because I'm often gone for 24 to 96 hours at a time, and they're an hour and a half away. So they need to have a good vehicle. We live on a mountain, so there's brush fires. They literally might have to evacuate at any moment. So we've made decisions like that that don't align with the Dave Ramsey program. But the general idea behind it is, don't carry a ton of debt, have a little bit of mobility. And if you do come, shifting gears a little bit here, if you do come to a point where you're doing your job, you're out in the field, and your boss or whoever comes to you and says, hey, I want you to do this thing that you know is morally wrong and doesn't align with your values, that's when you're going to have to start making a decision. Okay, do I go along with this just to get along so that I can continue to keep this job? Or am I going to stand on my principles and say, no, that's not something I'm going to do? And if you're in a place, just to reiterate the point, where financially you can't do that, now you're stuck. And picture yourself making that decision and then moving forward and then having to make that decision again. What's going to happen over the rest of your career, the 15, 20, 25 years you've got left with that company? You start letting yourself get tyrannized early on and change your morals and make shortcuts, whatever you want to call it. What's that going to look like in your career? And if that makes you unhappy now, when it's the first or second or third time that you're being asked to compromise, where are you going to be when you're in your 60s and you're getting ready to retire? What price did you pay all those years? So I'm not saying you have to leave your job. There's other ways to handle it. You can bring it up with your employer. You can talk to people about it, but it is something to consider. It's like, what cost are you paying for that, just in order to keep that financial security that is important? Like, we do need to provide as men, but those are things that you got to weigh out.
And as employees, every day isn't going to be the perfect day. There's going to be things that you probably do not want to do. Everybody that's worked any job has probably felt that way. But it, at a minimum, should motivate you to create a plan, to create a system financially to say, I'm not going to do this ever again. I'm going to set ourselves up so we're going to be okay, and I'm going to do something different next time.
Perfect point. And let me piggyback on that a little bit. Just because something is bothering you at work, don't just immediately think it's time to jump ship. The first thing you have to do is look at yourself. Am I being weak right now? Am I being lazy? Am I being deceitful with myself? Like, do I have some sort of internal problem that this is really highlighting? And it's not my boss. It's not my job. It's actually something with me. And that's going to be something where you're going to have to look inside yourself, but you're also going to need to talk to your friends and coworkers or your spouse and let them know, hey, this is bothering me. What do you think about this? How does this sound to you? What do you see? And coworkers are going to be the most valuable if it's work related, obviously. But be honest with yourself, because I've been in places in my career where something has really bothered me and I've let it get to me and it's given me a bad mood, a bad attitude at work, which then, guess what? That translates into having a bad mood and a bad attitude at home. And it's turned out that it's a shortcoming on my side where I'm looking at things in an inappropriate way or a way that doesn't jive with what I know is true or my own moral values. And I'm just so caught up in the moment that I don't realize it. So don't just walk away because you think something's bothering you. It might be you. And you have to be honest with yourself about that. And really, you do have to seek counsel from your friends and family, because if it's something you can fix, then by all means, grow, get better, fix it, and then move on. And you can continue doing what you do and do it well, which is what we should all do. It's what we're all called to as men.
I don't know if we can talk about this, but this morning I was driving in and I listened to the Tim Ferriss podcast, which I find a lot of value. And he had this gal on, her name is Diana Chapman. And she wrote a book called The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership, which I just ordered. But she described a thing called the drama triangle. And these are ineffective responses to conflict. And the triangle, if you can look at, let's say, an upside down triangle, on the left was the rescuer, is somebody that's always, let me help you, let me help you, let me help you, let me help you. To their own detriment, they're giving too much. The other point of the triangle is the persecutor. It's all your fault. Anytime anything happened to you, it's all somebody else's fault, somebody else's thing. You were wronged all the time. And you're just stuck in the point of somebody else is doing this to me all the time. And the other one is the victim. Poor me, poor me, poor me. And you deserve all these things when you don't need to do anything at home because how hard did you work that day? And they were basically saying that these are like ineffective responses to conflict and that you should own and be aware of what these things are. And it was really interesting to hear her talk about the different types of intelligence. There's IQ that everyone knows about, but there's BQ, which is body intelligence, MQ, moral intelligence, and EQ, emotional intelligence. Hmm. And what she was saying is that we discount the way you feel in your body and the way your body feels to it. You would know whether this is a hell no or a hell yes way before you're emotionally or intelligently able to respond to it. So if somebody says, I want to make a phone call, can I call you at 12 o'clock tomorrow? And if your heart rate goes up, you feel a little weird, you're like, man, I don't want to talk to that person. You should have the intelligence or the effective responses be like, no. And they say that your body, but you'll rationalize it in your head,
right,
and say, oh no, I should do this or I should do that. And she was basically just imploring, and I'm filleting this, but she was imploring you to like actually own that and to start thinking like, how does that feel? Or think of a time that was a fantastic time, a time at the park with your family, where it was a no brainer. This just felt perfect. That's what a hell yes sounds like, or what it means. And so she was saying, when you have things in the workplace, something comes up and something happens, and what does it feel like to you? And she said, you should start looking into that and start focusing on that and start saying, hey, that could be the actual gut response or your moral intelligence or your body intelligence should tell you where you should lead with this.
Dude, that's fascinating. So I just had an experience this week where I got asked to do something, and not going to go into details, but it's a project that I want to be involved in. I want to help with. They came to me and they said, hey, can you do this? And I knew immediately that it was not something that I could do, but I wanted to be a part of the group. I wanted to help. And so I said, yes, I can do that. And then for the next 2 to 3 days, I'm feeling anxious about it. I'm feeling bad about it because I know it's not something that I can do. I'm not going to be good at it. It's not where I fit in the organization. So I had to call the guy that asked me to do it, that I had told yes. And I had to say, look, man, I'm really sorry. I really want to help. I want to be a part of the team, but this is not a good fit for me. These are the things that I'm good at, or at least I feel I'm good at. But this thing is not going to work. And if you need to remove me from the group, and I'll support you from the outside or whatever, but I can't do this. I said yes, because I want to help and I'm excited, but it's not for me. And we had a good conversation and I found other things to do, but I'm totally right there with you.
And how much of that anxiety or that stress or whatever it was could have just been eliminated if we trusted our gut and we trusted that initial feeling and started saying, hey, I'm going to start working on my BQ, my body intelligence, and saying, if it doesn't feel right, then I should just have enough awareness to say no. Because I've been my whole life probably trying to people please and trying to say, yeah, and I want to do a lot of things. But now with family and work commitments, it gets harder and harder. And I think these are the things that we need to start looking into is a lot of times if there's drama in your life, I thought it was really interesting to go to the triangle and say, so many times I've said, it's your fault. or I'll blame my wife over and over for something that she's doing. And I'm not looking at myself saying, what do I need to do to be the husband that she wants, you know, or if it's the victim, I work so hard, I deserve to just sit on this couch and do nothing. Well, no, you don't. And then, like you were saying, is to let me help you as the rescuer is saying, I want to help in so many different ways, but it's at the detriment of my own goals, my own aspirations, or my family or whatever it may be. And it's really interesting because we can rotate between that triangle all the time. And those are ineffective responses to things that pop up conflict wise, you know?
That is fascinating because, I mean, just to go back to it, right at the beginning of that call when he asked me, I knew in my gut, like, I can't do that. That's not for me. But I said yes anyway. And then I had to own it and go back around in it. You know, not that it wasted days, but I did think about it. And then I had to make the phone call and all that extra stuff where I could have just said at the beginning, no, that's not for me. Yeah. What else can I do or anything? And even if that means you're not included in whatever it is, that's fine. It's better. Because not only is it going to be a detriment to you, this is what I was thinking about when we were talking, if I had kept that commitment, not only is it a detriment to me, but it's really a detriment to the organization.
No doubt.
Because I'm not going to be good at
You're not in.
So it's not going to be the best product that they could be putting out. I love that.
Yeah. And I always like, it's interesting. Tim Ferriss is on a completely different level than we are, like 17 levels.
True.
Maybe 1,000. But he says that for him, it's either a hell yes or a hell no. And so whether he's making a decision on anything, it either has to be a hell yes, 100% in, or it's an absolute no. And so I thought that's interesting because I think I go way too much in the gray area. It's like, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. And I think there's a maturity there to say, and nobody cares. How many times have you said no to something or said no to an event or a family party or whatever? Nobody cares, right? It's just like, but it's you that eat yourself up and beat yourself up over that decision.
Yeah, that's a fantastic lesson. I love that. So I want to go back real quick and touch on a couple of things that you should be thinking about if you're in a job where you feel like it may not be the good fit or may not be where you're supposed to be. If what you're doing at work is making you weaker, it's not just making you weaker at work. So if you're having to make compromises or if you're being asked to do things that you don't agree with or that you're just not excited about or aren't your strengths, you are naturally going to be taking that home. So if you've got a problem at work, and it actually is, again, back to this, it's a problem at work. It's not a problem with you. It's actually a problem with what's going on at work. You're not a good fit, or God forbid, they're doing things that you don't think are morally right or ethically right, whatever that is. You're going to take that home, and you're going to be more likely to snap at your wife, be short with her. You're going to be more likely to be tyrannical with your kids. And we don't want to be that as husbands and fathers, right? Well, that does, I'm not going to say it starts at work because I don't think that's quite right, but if you're dealing with that stuff at work, you are going to take it home. And so you have to, again, look at that long-term cost. If where I'm at is making me miserable and making me a bad human, a bad husband, a bad father, then what's the long-term cost of staying in that job? Now, it might be a dramatic short-term cost to leave it, as we've already discussed. You might be feeding your kids and wife Top Ramen, which, you know, hey, I've been there.
Like, yeah, me too.
You'll survive. And of course, that's a silly oversimplification. We're talking about a lot more than that. But if you can make that decision and then go do something that doesn't make you weaker, but makes you stronger, makes you better, then that translates in the same way. And now you're going home and you're a better husband, you're a better father. So you may have to make sacrifices in the short term. But again, just to reiterate, make sure that you're looking inside yourself too, and that you're not just, oh, this isn't fun anymore. I'm not having a good time. Work is work. Work is hard. Sometimes you have to be motivated and stick with it. Sometimes you just got to put your head down and grind through, and you'll come out the other side of whatever that difficulty is, and you'll be better for it. So you have to make that decision for yourself. Don't just walk away on a whim, but also don't stick around just because it's what you've always done and it's easier.
Yeah. And we talked about this with Max Kays.
Max.
Max challenged us to say, who are you? Who are you? Are you Noel? Are you just Noel the firefighter, or are you something else? And of course, you're so much more than that. But I do think that in our community specifically, and maybe in the military as well, is that we as men find a lot of our identity through our occupation. And I think that could be good and bad, right? But I think we all know, you know, we all say family first, but I mean, but reality is that we do find a lot of value in what we do. And I think we like the identity of it too. And so I think so much of the fear and uncertainty, if this was taken away, who are you? Who are you? And that is a question that we should all be asking ourselves. Go back and listen to Max Kays and say, who are you? Because if I'm honest, it would be hard for this to be taken away because it is a major part of my identity now. And so, and it's a source of income for my wife and two kids. And so it would be hard. Do I think we would be fine? Yes. I think we would figure it out. And I think we have a lot of friends and family as well. I think we would figure it out, but our life would look differently. But I should be okay to say that I have no guarantee that I even wake up tomorrow, let alone who knows what happens tonight, that I should be okay to know who I am regardless of what my job is.
Yeah. Amen. That is a good point. And I do second the fact that you should go back and listen to Max's episode. It's one of our most popular episodes, actually. We got to get that guy back on.
Max is rad.
Hey, Max. There is a third option here. So far we've been talking about leaving, right? If there's something wrong or there's a conflict or they're making you do something immoral, or staying and sticking it out. But the third option is a little bit more detailed in you are going to stay and stick it out, but you're going to say something. So in the example of a good friend of mine who was asked to do something that he believed was ethically wrong on his job, you can still stay, right? Now, staying and being quiet and just continuing to work, that is an option, right? You can decide, you know what, I'm going to deal with this because my family needs me to provide. I can't do anything else, whatever it is. Or you can stand up and you can say something. You can say, hey, this is wrong. This is why I'm not going to do that. This is why I believe those things. And you can go down that road. Now that's going to be an adventure because you don't know where that's going to lead. And it could lead you to being terminated, right? They could say, okay, bye. Or you might find out that there's a lot more people around you that are also like-minded. There's a lot of reasonable people around you that probably feel the same way about it if you feel that way. So with our current situation in the law enforcement, military, and medical first responder fields, there's a lot of people like-minded on both sides of the issue. So if you've got an issue with what's happening and you start raising that up the chain, you're going to find there's a lot of people that agree with you. And there's strength in that. And now it doesn't mean you're going to win, but at least you're going to vocalize and say, hey, this is where I stand. This is what I believe. And you can have those conversations and have those debates. But again, at that point, if you're going to do that, you should go back to the first thing that we talked about, which is be prepared, because that could lead to, well, now you need to find something else to do because we don't care what you think. This is how we're going to go forward. And if you don't fit into that, well, goodbye. But the flip side could happen. You could bring that to whoever's attention, have a conversation about it, and they might say, hey, you know what? You're right. And we value you. And so we're going to change the way we approach that situation. You know, we didn't realize that you felt that way. And here's how we're going to move forward. And then you move forward in the same job with the same security that you've had. And you've changed something now for the positive. So don't let the fact that there's, I'm just going to use the word tyranny, that there's tyranny going on in your job where you're being asked to do something that you think is unethical. Don't let that make the decision for you where I'm going to walk or I'm going to stay and deal with it. You may actually have a third option where you bring it up, you talk about it, you make a change.
Yeah. And people talk about that all the time. Don't complain about something that you're not willing to change yourself. And I've seen even in our career that somebody gets frustrated enough with whatever leadership or management or whatever it is. And so what do? Somebody's got to do something about this. I'm going to promote and try to be the one because I do care about this place. I do care about this job, and I'm not going to just walk away from it. And I think I could be the one to help change the thing. And so that's a phenomenal option because it's like that. Have you seen that meme? There's a gal and a guy, a husband and wife. They're laying on a bed somewhere and they're looking off to each other. And the woman she's like, I wonder if he's thinking about this and about this and about this. And maybe, and it goes all the way down to they're about to get divorced. And then he goes, I don't know if I left my front right tires a little bit low or something like that, you know, and it's a bit that age old communication thing. Yes. And if nobody knows in your career, like maybe that employer that asked him to do something ridiculous, that's morally wrong. Maybe if nobody checks him and nobody says anything, it continues on forever. But maybe he's in that position for a reason. And maybe that he's the one to finally change that behavior for everybody else that is going to take this job for forever.
Right. Amen. I love that point. And I do love that meme. I've seen a lot of great iterations of it. My favorite one was recently, I don't know if you guys ever saw the, you were on the internet. So I'm sure you saw it. The milk crate stuff that's been going on. Have you seen those milk crate challenges?
Oh yeah. Those idiots. Yeah.
So the wife is thinking, I wonder if he's thinking about other women. And he's over there thinking, where are they getting all these milk crates? I love that meme. Anyway, to that point, if you're going to do this and actually hopefully create positive change inside your organization, you have to do it tactfully. You have to do it smart. You can't go to your employer and just be like, hey, pound sand.
We're burning it down.
Yeah, that's not going to work. No. That's going to end one way, and it's going to be with you getting terminated and not having changed anything. So you have to be emotionally intelligent. You have to be able to voice what you believe in an intelligent and in a non-confrontational way and be willing to have that conversation. You can't just go and say, pound sand, I'm not doing it. That's a good way to exit if that's what you're trying to do. But it's better, like Kevin said, to change that organization from the inside, and not just for you, but for everybody else that works there and all the people that are going to work there in the future, if that's a possibility. Now, there are times and places where that's not going to work, but that doesn't mean you don't try. I strongly believe that there are battles in our lives that we are supposed to fight and face knowing that we're going to lose them because it's the right thing to do. And, you know, I mean, it's in warfare too. Just because a battle looks unwinnable doesn't mean you don't go fight it. Sometimes you have to go fight those battles. Sometimes that does mean you lose and you take that loss and you move on, but it doesn't mean you don't fight it.
Yes. It's like going to couples therapy. I mean, we're talking about Max and stuff, but we could fight over the same thing for 10 years. And it takes a third party to say, what I'm hearing from her is this. And it takes just another perspective in a calm, conscious way to say something differently. And then I have a new perspective. And then that is a catalyst for change in our relationship or whatever. So I think in these things too, sometimes it does help to have different opinions, different people, different perspectives, and possibly a third party to help facilitate those conversations so that it doesn't become, you know, this giant match between each other where you're just going to burn it down. Good luck. I just listened to this. This guy was just saying that we have all this fear and we're raising our kids and all this uncertainty and we're all doing this thing. He said, this pastor was saying that your kids were designed for this exact moment in time. You were designed for this exact moment in time. And that, yes, it might be different than somebody else's generation, but this is your time. This is where you're supposed to be. And exactly at this moment, it's designed. And so I do believe that, like, no matter what happens, we're designed to do whatever this plan is. And it's up to us to just go with the plan and do the best thing that you could do for yourself, knowing that that moment of clarity won't come. And I just think that you're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. No matter what, you know, whether it's a good day or a bad day, that's still okay. We're alive today. There's things that, like, there's this roller coaster of life. It's just, we're not just going to be skipping down the road in bliss every single day. I think your dad talked about it, that we should guarantee challenges in our life. It's coming, knowing that we have an eternity of bliss. You know, like, there are going to be things, and this is just another one on this long road that we have, hopefully.
Yeah. And growth comes out of the fire. It comes out of those trials. It's why we work out hard. It's why we force ourselves to learn new things. It's why we put ourselves out there with this podcast. It's why you do things, because if you're going to grow and get better, you have to challenge yourself. You have to go through the struggle in order to do that. And we know that in all various areas of our lives, we know that to be true. And just to reiterate what Kevin just said so well, I have found myself over this past year and a half often getting stuck in, oh, I wish we were back in the past and weren't things so good 2 years ago before all of this stuff started. There's no value in that, right?
None.
There's no value in that. I can remember those times and those happy memories with my family and the things that we used to do that we can no longer do. Those are good memories and I'm not going to lose those, but living in that past does me no good right now in the present, because I am in this moment and I do have to make decisions based on what's happening now around me. And just like Kevin said, we were made for these moments. This is where you were put in the timeline and you're here for a reason. You have no idea what you're capable of and whether that means going off and finding a new career or staying in the career that you're in and changing things or just keeping your head down for now, because that's where you're at. You're in the trenches and you just need to keep your head down and keep moving forward. Wherever you're at in the spectrum, you're here for a reason. Don't forget that. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't worry too much about what's going on in the future, because you don't know what that's going to be like either. Day to day, focus on the moment, make the best decision you can with the information that you have, knowing the moment of clarity is not coming. I love that quote.
And I've worked hard to make it a choice to be grateful in the morning. I could wake up and say, poor me, and get into that drama triangle so easily. But I do think I've worked hard to try to have that positive mindset, whatever you want to talk about, and be a, but I do know that this can be overwhelming for some people. And I just want to implore you that Noel and I are available. And if you, if anybody is out there that is struggling dramatically, do not make a rash, horrendous decision or something just so tragic. And we just know that you do have resources. There are people that are willing to help. There are people that are going through the same thing that you are. And we are just, we implore you to talk about it. If it's not with us, with somebody else, but we are available if you ever wanted to talk to us.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have resources too that we can point you at that are trained and actually professionals in those realms. So if you really do need actual help, apart from just talking to a couple of your brothers, we can point you in those directions as well.
And I don't think in these hard times, this is the time to drink all night and eat donuts all day. If there's any time to get tight and get right, is to use positive outlets like working out, watching nutrition, getting as much sleep as you can, supplement with a multivitamin, some vitamin D, do some positive things, because it's cyclical. If your body feels good, so does your mind. And I think we can do some things personally to help combat a lot of the chaos that's going on.
Yeah, 100%. Get some exercise every day. Expose yourself to the cold. We still believe in that strongly. Take an ice bath, do a cold shower, do some Wim Hof breathing, spend some time in a quiet place and pray or meditate wherever you're at. But those things are infinitely valuable, and you will make better decisions, have better days if you're doing those things. They are positive. They do work. This has been the Fire You Carry podcast.
Hey guys, we had a blast working with Core Health and Fitness and Stairmaster and MyZone for a 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb. After the fact, MyZone, well, a lot of people at the climb got a really cool heart rate monitor through MyZone. And we're in a challenge right now in October, who can get the most MEPS, which is a measuring system that MyZone uses in their heart rate. So let me know if you want to get in and chart it. We're using a lot of data from that. They're really cool heart rate monitors. You can let me know. I can give you a discounted price on a MyZone. And be on the lookout for more amazing live events that we're going to be doing, partnering up with Core Health and Fitness and hopefully MyZone in the future. You know how in the fire department, we just foster addictions? There's a new one that I've realized.
What is it?
When I was early in, I was in the desert, yeah, in my first spot, and they're like, hey, you should put some chapstick in your bag because it gets hot and dry out here. I can't go an hour without slithering my lips.
We were in...
And this is 10 years now, and I'm in the game deep, dude. And I'm like, oh, I only have one chapstick left. It's ridiculous. I want to get off this thing. I want to go back to dry lips.
This is going to end up... I'm going to tag this entire conversation at the end of the podcast because I love it. So we're in Big Bear.
As you're holding
like a week
chapstick.
And a half ago.
You're holding
chapstick. I got chapstick in my hand. I just pulled out of my pocket. Dude. This is Burt's Bees. It's the chai tea flavor.
Oh, high end.
Which is actually pretty good. Okay. I usually go with the vanilla bean. Which is very girly and smells good. You want to eat it. So we're in Big Bear and we're walking around. We went bowling for the first time. And I know that I'm down to a nub on my chapstick, right? I only have a little bit left.
You're in the danger
zone. I'm applying a little bit to my lips like I'm doing right now as I talk.
Yeah.
And it like pops out, right? The last little plastic nub comes out. It lands face down on the floor of the bowling alley.
Oh, devastating.
So you can't put that back on your mouth, right? So it goes in the trash. So now we're walking around and we're going in all these shops in like downtown Big Bear. They have that one street with all the shops. And every shop I go into, I'm just beelining it to like the counter to see if they have any lip balm. Nobody has any. And I'm, you know, you're just starting to get that feeling like
a man
my,
of your size with a gun on his hip asking for lip balm.
My lips are so dry. And then finally we went to this like hipster lady shop where they have all the, you know, the flat brim felt hats and like the,
she's got the lips.
There's like ponchos in there. And sure enough, she had the chai tea Burt's Bees. So I bought some.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real thing, man. I can't go an hour without. Now, are you a clockwise or counterclockwise applier?
I go straight. Then my wife makes fun of me for this all the time. If you look at my lip balm, it's pointy.
What?
So I go straight with the lips pursed and I go back and forth.
Oh, you're an east to west guy.
Yeah, she makes fun of me for that all the time.
Well, what about the bottoms, dude? How do you
they like you just mash them together. So it's like it creates this point. We were talking about this in the car the other day too. We're like, so what kind of lip balm person are you? Like, does your lip balm look flat when you open it out because you actually put it on the lips, or do you go in the middle like I do and it gets into a point? Or
mine has the concave in it.
Oh, see? That's totally different. Or are you one of those weirdos that carries the Carmex and you use your finger?
Weird. No, that's totally weird.
We were talking about how funny it would be to just walk up to somebody and be like, let me see your chapstick.
See, and then you can tell
what does it look like? What kind of person are you?
Or if they don't have any chapstick.
Yeah. Then you respect. Just remove them from your life. 'Cause they can't. That's funny.